like a Louis Vuitton or like a Macy's or Bloomingdale's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where people come in and out all the time.
I was going to ask you, I noticed that the store is kind of tucked away on the third floor without much
right.
foot traffic. Is that by design? Did you guys have, is that?
You know, there are two ways of saying this. One way is we want it to be a little bit more elegant. We want it to be a little bit more classy. We don't, that's one way of saying it. The other way is it's cheaper rent.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is totally inside scoop, because you have to realize South Coast is basically calculated by money.
Yeah.
So your square footage and your location determines how much rent you can afford.
Right.
So the more prominent and the more, you can kind of tell the way they organize certain stores, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, remember Sears and that wing is usually for, like, you know, Victoria's Secret or
yeah.
Bath and Body Works.
Or Uniqlo,
right? But when
or
you
something.
Go to the Nordstrom side, it's the Tiffany's, the Hermes, and the Chanel.
Yeah.
Right? So they're very, very careful at how they market this. And they make it a huge premium to be at the best location. And with Oscar de la Renta, they basically have been friends with the Segerstroms for a long time.
Uh-huh. The so theater?
The original owner.
And
Mr. Oscar de la Renta. They have friendship. They're friends. And then right now, because since Oscar passed away almost 7 years ago,
uh-huh.
his son-in-law, Alex Bolin, and his daughter, or a stepdaughter, took over the business, Eliza Bolin. And they kept maintaining the relationship with the Segerstroms, both on a personal and a business level.
Mm-hmm.
So they just...
Wait, can you say that again? Segerstrom?
Yeah, Segerstrom, the owners of
South Coast Plaza. Okay.
Yeah, they you know how they own the Segerstrom Performing Arts Center?
Yeah, the same Segerstrom.
Yeah, the streets around South Coast Plaza, like Anton, is actually named after their son. One of their son's name is Anton.
Oh.
So they basically, they're such a huge part of the city of Costa Mesa. It's almost kind of like Disneyland is to the city of Anaheim.
Yeah.
So they're very careful where they are. We can't really afford to move.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of revenue that some of these huge brands like Vuitton or Chanel, we just cannot compete. We do not have that kind of revenue. We don't.
Okay.
So we've been very comfortably kind of quietly nestled up there in the corner.
I know. You have to, like, if you're going up there, you're going to see Oscar de la Renta. Like,
yeah. Or you're going to, like, a lot of it is, you know, Christian Louboutin is right across
yeah.
from us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So, to be perfectly honest, the clientele from Louboutin versus the clientele that buys Oscar are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different. So people will come up, but they'll go to Louboutin. They don't really, they will walk in and look at ours, and then they walk out in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because it's not... It's not for everyone.
No.
If I can say that.
Yeah.
Oscar is still very, in the sense that it's still very, I wouldn't say old-fashioned, but they still have a lot of the traditional ways of retail. Like, we do a lot of our major sales during trunk shows.
Oh.
Which a lot of people don't even know what a trunk show is, right? They either never been to them, they don't understand that most people these days, like today, the kids that are, you know, the millennials, they don't understand what a trunk show is. Mm-hmm. They are just so used to going online to buying things.
Yeah.
Well, trunk shows, the old-fashioned way of trunk shows is basically like a fashion show inside a store.
Okay.
Except we don't do models in pieces of clothing anymore. We basically have 7 huge trunks. I mean huge. They stand up to be like almost like 5 feet.
Uh-huh.
Huge, deep, deep trunks that we put all the samples.
Huh.
And then we ship them to all of our locations for clients to come in to place orders ahead of time.
You do. Go ahead.
They make appointments. So, say for example, we were supposed to do our fall collection trunk show in April. I would say, Helen, our trunk show is on April the 21st. Come with your mom. And then you basically come in and you just look through the racks, the probably like 6 or 7 racks of clothing
uh-huh.
in different designs. And they're not necessarily for people to try it on because these are basically samples that are built on models that are size 0 that are 6 feet tall.
Right.
You know, they're 100 pounds. Uh-huh. But the clients who shops at this level, they know that's how it is. They come in and they place orders in advance. And what we do is they, whatever they order, we will make.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's certain styles, no one orders it after all the trunk shows are over, we will not even bother to make it.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so, and then they are pieces that we will sort of call buy or purchase for the stores to sell certain styles that they think will do well.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will have a few more pieces. But Oscar de la Renta has never been one of those companies that mass produce their pieces.
Mm-hmm.
The cocktail dress that your mom got for your brother's wedding. They aren't that many out there in this world, to be really honest with you.
Right.
They're just maybe, at the most, 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I can find out exactly how many we have that we produced. But we're not, so we're not like a any other sort of big retail companies that can make 300 pieces in just in one size only.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We make 20 pieces and that's in 5 or 6 different sizing. That's it.
Right.
So at this level of shopping, a lot of people don't understand it. They say, well, how can you charge me $4,000 for a dress?
Yeah.
But they don't realize it's all handmade, it's limited production, and it the cost comes with it. So that's why we kind of have always been up there and we have no intention of moving because we can't, we number one, don't want to sort of ruin the mystique of it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we don't have the capacity.
I see. That's very, very interesting.
We want to, but I just don't think we can. At this moment, the brand is not enough. We can't, at this brand, we're not a, at this moment, maybe we will later on, but at this moment, we're not going to be able to challenge the big other big, huge clothing retailers.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about your story and what brought you to work at Oscar de la Renta?
Well, I came to Oscar de la Renta because I wanted something to do.
Yeah.
I needed something that wasn't going to take up a majority of my time. What I mean is once I knew mom wasn't doing well and dad needed help to sort of, you know,
take
have
care.
Someone to help, right? So I couldn't trust anyone else, and my job was, it paid really well, but it was incredibly stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked for a lot of different companies. I even worked for Google as a subcontractor. So I didn't really want to go back to an office.
Yes.
And working at retail, especially at Oscar, there's a good thing is because we don't get hundreds of people coming into the store every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I get to meet some really quality clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, oh, okay, I'll come. I'll work at retail. I think that's a good thing because I can have 2 days off during the week, mm-hmm. which is what I wanted, mm-hmm. so I can take mom and dad to doctor's appointments, physical therapy, you know, any other appointments that they need. I can do it during the weekday when the services are available.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I decided. I thought, oh, I can do this. I enjoy helping people, and I became the bridal specialist, which I absolutely love.
Oh, wow, you are?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I am having so much fun because to me, it's you're helping a young lady to, or any some of them are not young ladies. It's their second marriage, or some people are getting their 25th anniversary. So, but helping them to look at their best, it makes me happy.
Yeah,
So that's why I decided to work at Oscar, because if I work at Vuitton or any other sort of luxury, what I mean, big brands, I probably would make a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'd be able to build the same type of relationship that I would have with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because of volume. You see so many people in and out, it's impossible to provide that same kind of service.
Right. You just don't have time.
No. And as it is, they're my colleagues. We only have 3 salespeople in this store, and we take turns.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 2 ladies have been not necessarily with Oscar, but they've been in retail. One of them is 16 years, the other one is 11 years.
Wow.
So I think they developed this sort of innate, or albeit accurate or inaccurate, quick judgment of people when they walk into the store as to whether they will buy or not.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to take on bridal clients, because you cannot tell with a bridal client. You just can't. And bridal takes up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
They don't make a snap decision. Their dresses cost up sometimes from, $7,000 up to $47,000.
Oh my gosh.
So you have to be very patient.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always joking with me. They say, oh my gosh, you, how could you be so patient?
But you like it.
I do. I think, well, number one, you have to realize I like what I do.
Yeah.
And number two, I'll be really honest. I am very, very, I'm in a very, very lucky position that, financial is never an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, I think it's maybe just being, Chinese. We're always very prudent and very smart at investing and growing our money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to worry that I'm being furloughed for the next 6 weeks or even 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But for my other colleagues, they can't say that. They probably can't even last 2 weeks.
Right.
So the way they look at things versus the way I look at things are completely different. And I think that's when you can get the differences in services.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see clients as dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
And I see clients as someone who needs my help.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge discrepancy. Or I would say maybe their ways of looking at it to me is a little bit more mercenary, because mm-hmm. they have money as a motive.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we all want to make sales. That's why we're in sales. But the way I look at people is different from them.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most difficult things is that when you're in a store like Oscar, you get a lot of people who just walk in because they get drawn in by those beautiful gowns or beautiful displays that we have in the windows. And but they can't, there's no way they'd be able to spend that much money to buy a dress.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's fine. Come in and look, because that's how they educate their eyes, and it's how they, I can be thankful that they appreciate beautiful things, that our design is being appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at some other people, they'll just be like, oh my gosh, why are they here wasting my time?
Right.
And they can be very obvious about it. So that's when people get intimidated, when they get so many other people.
I was going to say that when my mom and I stepped in and we were just browsing, like, it didn't feel intimidating for us at all, just to take a look around. And I wanted to ask you, you touched on this a little bit, but what do you think is the culture of working at the store? What is it, collaborative, or is it competitive?
Working at Oscar, you get both. What I mean is, there are only a certain amount of clients. So, how we get clients is we take turns. So whoever starts the shift gets to be the first person that day to approach the client. And so sometimes it's hit, that's why salespeople don't like people who just come in and look.
Mm-hmm. That's your first person.
Because that's the term you have to take, and then you lose, and then you have to wait until the next client, that's your turn to attempt to make a sale.
I see.
So that, in that sense, it's sort of a luck of a draw kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we are a lot more cooperative because we're so small.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have a lot of those snipey, backfighting, backstabbing, gossiping behaviors, because there are only three of us.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we will have to help each other. Say, for example, it's my day off, but my client came in, and my colleagues will still have to assist the client. Let's say I'm on my day off, you and mom came in, my other colleague helped you, but that sales will still have to go to me.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just take it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, we all have to get along well enough to say, I want to help your client.
Right.
So we're all competitors, but we're also collaborators.
I see. So it's both.
Yeah. But in other retail stores, like when I work for Tiffany, that's like, you know, no holds bars, everybody just, You grab who you want, and then people have fights all the time because you took my client. No, I didn't know they were your client. No, you took it intentionally. You took my sale. You know, a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of it.
So, do you guys have, like, kind of a standard training on how you provide customer service, or is it just up to each individual as to how they approach customer service?
Because we're so small, there's really no training.
Mm-hmm.
No customer service specific training.
Yeah.
They assume when they hire you that you already know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really do, I mean, let's see, I'm actually with the least amount of experience, but the other two have worked in retail for 11 and 16 years, so they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We get product knowledge service training, mm-hmm. but that's just in a PDF that's sent out. Whereas other big companies, they would literally have trainers that fly in, and everybody get together at a hotel, and then you're trained for the next day or two, you know, kind of like an immersive training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So Oscar simply does not have the capacity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get very interesting sort of dynamic, different levels of services, let's put it that way.
I see.
So it's difficult to say. Some people have their own style. It's pretty much based on that.
Okay. So, and then what do you think the Oscar de la Renta brand is about?
To me, I think it's an interesting question. I thought about this before. Oscar is still very much a brand that's designed for very specific clients. We are very demanding on our clients. They need to, number one, have the financial backing to be able to afford the pricing. Number two, they need to have the body to wear the design. Mm-hmm. Number three, they also need to have the taste.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, we appeal to people who are successful.
Mm-hmm.
The taste tends to be a little bit on the more elegant, not so logo oriented, mm-hmm. if I may say so.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely not a brand that's going to appeal to the Chinese, you know, millennials that are so used to wearing Gucci's and Vuittons and with logos everywhere. It's mm-hmm. just, it's not us.
Mm-hmm.
Our clients are established career women or society ladies
mm-hmm.
who are looking for elegant, interesting designs, quality fabric, and workmanship.
Okay.
And if you look at our bridals are appearing, it's appealing to a certain type of bride.
Mm-hmm.
We are not David's Bridal. Mm-hmm. We are very, very careful with our quality, with our aftercare,
yeah.
even. Because let's say a gown is delivered to my bride, I would even tell them how to preserve it.
Right.
But before that, they will go through multiple alterations with my seamstress to make sure it fits perfectly, it bustles perfectly. You know, there's a lot of those details that most people don't realize goes into completing an outfit.
Mm-hmm.
We're also incredibly, to be really honest with you, compared to the other brands, we care a lot more about our clients. A lot of our clients are at the level where they do not even shop for themselves. They're so busy, they hire stylists.
Uh-huh.
I work with a lot of stylists who style different people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, for example, a very good example, Mrs. Sagerstrom.
Mm-hmm.
She's very busy, and she does not come into the store. Very, very seldom does she come in. And when she comes in, it's an entourage.
Oh.
But her stylist comes to the trunk show,
mm-hmm.
every single trunk show, and select pieces for her in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So we are one of the very few companies that still does that we still let the stylists come in, select pieces, and they can literally take it. If we have it in stock, they can take it home. They can take it to their client's home, let them try it on at home. If they like it, they keep it, and then we charge the credit card. If they don't like it, they send it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
We do that it's what we call on consignment. This is sort of like a industry term that we do on consignment, different from what people think of a consignment store is. It's mm-hmm. not that way. So say, for example, you call me today and I said, oh, okay, Helen needs a cocktail dress so she can go to conduct this seminar. So what I would do is two choices. I would either pack the choices I've suggested for you into a suitcase and I drive it to your house and you select whatever you want, but I put together a whole look for you. Mm-hmm. I can be your stylist.
I see.
Or the other way around is you're too busy, you send your stylist to me, they pick out whatever pieces and we let you take it out of the store without charging you.
Yeah.
We do have your credit card on file. If anything is damaged, you have 48 hours to decide what you want and give it back to me.
I see.
So we are one of the very, very few. And I know for sure Vuitton, Chanel, Dior, none of the other stores do it.
Mm-hmm.
Gucci, none of them. We're the only one ready-to-wear store that would do it. So we do a lot of my business is done on consignment.
Mm-hmm.
I will send pieces to client anywhere in the world with certain restrictions, and then they ship it back to me after they let me know within 48 hours they decide they want to keep certain pieces, and whatever they don't want, they ship it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the very unusual services that we still provide that none of the other big name stores would do.
So what's like a testimonial of how far you've gone for a customer?
Let's see. Well, a good example, back in February.
Yeah.
A client of mine on Tuesday evening at 9:30 sent me a text and said, Mandy, I need your help. I need a beautiful gown and a very unusual gown that she needs to wear to a gala on
uh-huh.
Friday.
Wow.
And it has to be of a certain design. It has to look very beautiful on photograph, because she's going to be photographed a lot along with her husband
uh-huh.
at this event. And so there are certain requirements that she wants. So I immediately told her, okay, I think I have some choices. Can I come and see you tomorrow morning, which is Wednesday morning?
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday morning, I took three pieces along with all of the accessories, the bag, the shoes, the earrings, necklace, anything that I can think of to match those three pieces that I think will satisfy what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
Pack it up in a suitcase. We drove it out. She lives in Newport Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Drove it out with my seamstress. I cannot go without my seamstress, because most of these pieces, they need alteration.
Right.
So because of that, we drove it to her house. She picked the one outfit that I knew she was going to get. I was that confident that she was going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up buying the earrings, the purse, everything else that went with that outfit, the whole thing. So my seamstress was there, took all the measurements, took pin up the dress the way she needed it, start working on it. We drove it back to her on Friday.
Oh my gosh.
And then she wore it to the event. And I had another client that came in on Saturday and said, I saw this dress. Is it one of your clients? she said, yeah, because they were both at the same event.
Oh.
And, yeah, they were both at the same event. And she said, oh, I think I saw this lady who was wearing this dress. And I didn't know it was an Oscar. And she said, yeah, she looked beautiful. But she saw it because she came into the store looking for something, and I show her the lookbook, and she goes, oh my gosh, I saw this dress. Yeah. So when you talk about clientele, our clients are people who have to social a lot. They go to a lot of social functions,
mm-hmm.
obligations that they need to do, so they can't be photographed in the same dress.
I see.
and also because they know a lot of their same friends. So when we have a lot of sort of society dowagers or doyens mm-hmm. in San Diego, mm-hmm. that they do these huge charity events, and they are all good friends with each other. So when comes around holiday seasons, when they need to do their parties right. or their fundraising, we have to be very careful. I have to take note. Well, mm-hmm. Helen decides to wear this outfit, so I cannot show this to anyone else. That's your friend.
Uh-huh.
I literally have to take notes, because if I don't and I sold it to your friend Michelle, yeah. you both turn up at the same event in the same outfit. Can you imagine how awkward that is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But very few other stores would do that because they either don't sell ready-to-wear or they don't sell that many, so they don't really care. They don't sell at the same levels that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But my clients are very specific. They will tell you, I don't want something that's already been photographed on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
They want something that's going to look good on their Instagram account.
Right.
They want something that's going to make them look taller, thinner, shorter, you know, anything and everything. So it's very, very imperative that I have to know what their body is and how they feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think at another store I'd be able to do the same. I'd be able to have the luxury to provide that same kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I feel like I just had this feeling that the customer service at Oscar de la Renta is very different and more, it's so comfortable.
Much more personal.
I like that word too. Much more personal.
Yeah. Because a lot of my clients, really interestingly, they actually want you to go to their store because they actually want me to meet them at their home or their office
mm-hmm.
because they're so busy.
Yeah.
I recently drove 6 pieces to a hairdresser salon to meet my client because she only has that time where she's going to be there to be able to look at the clothes.
Oh, wow.
So I am one of the few I'm the only one that does it right now in my store, that I would drive to clients' place, houses, offices, or hair salons, wherever they're going to be, and show them pieces.
I see. That's really remarkable.
Well, it's I like doing it because when you see them in their own sort of comforting place,
mm-hmm.
they're very relaxed.
Yeah.
And they're much more willing to work with you.
Yeah.
Most of the time when I do that, they are so cute. They will even buy the perfume samples that I bring with me. Now, so in one way, yes, it's very profitable for me. But on the other hand, they develop this relationship with me. They know next time when something happens, in Helen's, your head, you're going to be, oh, I know if I call Mandy, she'll yeah. find something for me.
Yeah.
Even if it's an emergency.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Mandy, for spending so much time with me.
Oh, you're welcome.